So hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. The birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he'd resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, so dawn, as Father Paul said, has come down with one of the many bugs that's around at the moment, and so you've drawn the short straw this morning. It's all about Mary, or is it? Well, yes, traditionally, of course, it is on this fourth Sunday of Advent. This is the day when we focus on Mary in the run-in to Christmas. But today's gospel that I've just read to you reminds us that Joseph was there too. And he tends in the great drama of the story to be a little overlooked, at least in some ways. But of course, his role was crucial, not least as protector and guardian. He could easily and legitimately have walked away from the whole situation. In fact, that would have been largely what was expected. In fact, he'd already decided to do that until God persuaded him otherwise. So his daytime resolution, as it were, gave way to a night of wrestling in the face of gossip and derision. He decided that he would walk away because people were saying, "Have you heard? Mary's pregnant. I never expected that. They're not even married yet, you know. And I've heard that Joseph isn't even the father." Mary's pregnancy was and would have been a scandal, and Joseph knows this. And he wants to be seen to be doing the right thing, but he is kind, and he decided that he would quietly let her go. He's encouraged, though, in the story, not to be afraid. It's a phrase we hear through the New Testament, through the Gospels, "Do not be afraid." And it's particularly important at this moment in the story, at this strange and disquieting time, as it seemed that, as it were, God's plan is on its head. He, like Mary in her obedience, reminds us that if we want to uncover the will of God, we should be prepared for some shocks and surprises along the way. Yet the church and religious authorities upholding the religious laws of the day in Jesus' time prefer the language and attitudes of neatness and moral tidiness and correctness of respectability. There is a right way to go about this, you know, Joseph, and you shouldn't be sticking with Mary in this situation. It's not the right thing to do. It's not the right thing to do. It's not the right thing to do. How many times do we hear that in our own lives and in the lives of the church? God can't be blessing this or that situation. It's not the right thing to do. You've broken the rules. But the angel says to Joseph and to Mary, do not be afraid. This is from the Holy Spirit. This fulfills God's promise from a long time ago. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he will be called Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Now, whatever we think about the mechanics, for want of a better word, of the virgin birth, the point is that what looked like a scandal in the eyes of that particular time, and indeed in many ways would have continued to look like a scandal in different circumstances down the centuries, turned out to be the means of grace and glory. I'll just repeat that. So a scandal turns out to be the means of grace and glory. Joseph had to let go of any idea of respectability, of doing the done thing, in order to follow the call of the angel, the call of God, in order to do the right thing in God's eyes. And this, I hope, should just be a gentle reminder this morning that we need to recalibrate our thinking sometimes around what we consider to be the legitimate will of God. It's very unwise for us to put limits on the scope and nature of God's grace and activity in the world. God's grace, by its very nature, comes undeservingly. We can't earn it. Now, so often in life, of course, we crave certainty, don't we? We want to know the truth. We want to know the right way to go. There must only be one way, after all. But if that way is God's way, then, as I said a few moments ago, prepare to be surprised. Because God does not align himself with our human respectability. And the way ahead is not always clear for us. Sometimes it takes a while, sometimes even a lifetime, to see the way ahead from God's point of view. Sometimes it's a matter of seeing that in order to welcome God's will, we have to change radically in our outlook and in our thinking. Sometimes, yes, we have to stand our ground. Sometimes we have to give way in a way that overturns our world, just as the world for Joseph and Mary was overturned. We have to literally take that leap of faith. Deciding what to do and when to do it is at the very heart of what it means to live a spiritual life, not just a life lived for the sake of worldly values, of respectability or status or the acquisition of wealth or whatever it might happen to be, but a life lived in prayerful attention to God, in listening. We often describe Mary as being obedient to God, and the root of that word obedience or obedient is listening. To listen. Are we listening to the will of God? One important question to ask ourselves from time to time on our earthly pilgrimage is, when we made a significant decision, Was God at the heart of that decision? Did we turn to God to help us to make that decision? Did God figure? Did we pray? Did we seek God's guidance, either directly in prayer or through other people? Did we offer our perplexity or anguish or pain in that difficult situation to God as we struggled to decide what to do next? Or did we do it from our own perspectives, with our own energy, with our own, as it were, self-made wisdom? Or did we seek God's will? Joseph and Mary listened to God rather than the voices of power or even law that surrounded them, the right way to do things. So let's let Christmas be a time when we renew our commitment, not just to listen to the loud voices around us, the voices that like to divide us, but actually to listen with a good conscience and a quiet heart to what comes when we turn to God, not just in the drama of this story, but in the reality of our everyday lives. Now, it might not come with the visit of an angel in the middle of the night, but it will come. It will come. God's voice is there. God is faithful to us. That's another thing that the story proves. It's just that we might not always get the answer that we were expecting or hoping for or were prepared for. We forget, but in a way, we have the same job as Mary and Joseph to bring Christ safely to birth in our time, to be witnesses pointing to the light in the darkness, showing by who we are and how we are that we're striving to listen to God and to reflect his light and his love in the world. Amen.